Well, good morning. I'll say it again. Good morning. All right, that's much better. Let's stand together and let's just go to the Lord and just worship Him a little bit this morning before we have our missionary come.
Is good. Amen. Amen. He has been so good to us in so many different ways, so much more than we can even remember or even appreciate. His love is unconditional. His blessings are bountiful. And sometimes I wish my mind would remember so that my heart would be full of all the things the Lord's done for me. But I know this, I hold on to the faith and truth that what He did yesterday, He'll do today. And what He did today, He is capable and more than willing to do tomorrow. Would you go with me in prayer this morning? Lord, we thank you so much, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you so much for you continuing to move in our lives and through our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the hand you placed upon our church and upon our church family. Lord, we ask right now that what we do here in this place lifts up your name and brings honor to you. Lord, your presence is so welcome here. We need you here. We want to meet you here. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning for just a few moments. I want to say welcome to those of you who are visiting with us today, whether you're visiting online or whether you're visiting here in person in the building. If you're here in person, we would ask that if you're a visitor, there's a welcome card in the seat back in front of you. And if you would take that and fill it out and then just place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit, that gives us a record of your attendance and helps us to know that you came and visited with us today. And we would really, really appreciate that. We've got several announcements this morning. And so I'm just going to go over those really quick. First of all, tonight is our scheduled Connect Group experience. We've rented out the Moore Skate Center, and I just found out that we've had some reports of maybe some positive weather that could happen. And so we're going to move forward, but we want you to use wisdom, all right? Use wisdom in what you do, and if there is a tornado, please do not drive into it, okay? You all know, ladies, you know which husband tries to, you know, push it a little bit. Don't let him. This is not an invitation of the church for you to try to skate by, okay? That is not what we're trying to do here today, okay? So, but if for whatever reason, you know, none of that happens, we still want you to meet us out there. We're going to have a good time, and many of you have signed up, and it's $10 to skate. We've rented out the whole facility, which means it guarantees that we get to play our kind of music and have our type of environment, and it's going to be a great time. So we invite you out to be a part of our Connect Group experience tonight. And on Monday, October 25th, is the Light for the Lost banquet. And I don't know about you, but I love steak. Come on now. I went to Texas Roadhouse Friday night, and I got a steak that was, my eyes were a little bigger than my stomach was. But I did not let that steak go to waste. I also did not sleep well that night, but I did not let steak go to waste. And so here's the great thing. Usually the meal costs $10. The church is going to cover half. And so if you'd like to go, you just need to sign up and give Pastor Al your $5, and we'll have you signed up. You'll have a wonderful night where you eat steak and get to learn and hear about missions and be inspired. And so you must sign up and pay by October 17th, which is next Sunday. And if you'll do that, then we're going to go on the 25th to Bethesda and enjoy the Light for the Lost banquet. And then on the 28th of this month is Hallelujah Night. And that is our annual outreach for the Halloween season. And we'll have this whole sanctuary will be transformed. We'll have inflatables and carnival games. And over on the other side, there'll be cakewalk and face paint and a photo booth, and we'll have hot dogs and nachos and all kinds of stuff happening, coming out of the kitchen, and we have a lot of people who come out to this outreach, and just it's a time where we can just love on our community, and so we're going to need a lot of help. We'd love for you to donate some bags of candy, because we give a lot of candy out. We'd love for you to come and volunteer to help run a booth or help us in some way make this event happen. And so on Thursday, October 28th, is the event, but on that Wednesday before, instead of having our normal services and all that, we will be setting up and getting ready for the outreach the following day. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. And then, how many of you saw this insert in your bulletin today? This is from the women's ministry. There's a couple of things we want you to know about. First of all, this Saturday, they're going to be having a breakfast with a short devotion. It looks like pancakes with either apples or blueberries or strawberries. And so I'm actually going to skip the youth event, and no, I'm teasing. But that sounds wonderful. And our very own Melissa Gabbard is going to teach you ladies how to make your very own fall and Thanksgiving cards. She's going to bring supplies. All you have to do is come and be willing to learn, okay? And so that's this Saturday starting at 9 o'clock, and the event will last from about 9 to 11, Miss Kim told me. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that. And then we also have what's called the Soul Sister Campaign, and basically this is where they link up you with somebody else where you can share, exchange gifts and words of encouragement. And so if you'd like to sign up to be a part of that, you can either go to the Facebook page and sign up, or in the front foyer, and then they're going to pair everybody up. So lots of stuff happening. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, my voice is a little hoarse. Because we did it. Yes. Yes. We all know that the Lord is an OU fan. We know that because it says that he's going to come sooner than later. And the Bible says very clearly that he will break the horns of the wicked. And so so we know. But anyway, the ushers are coming as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Ralph is not going as fast as Candy Brooks was to the end zone yesterday. All right. Once again, if you're a visitor today, if you filled out the card, please place it in the offering bag for us. And let's pray over the tithe and offering, and we're going to go back into worship. Lord, we thank you so much once again for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon us and your hand is upon our giving. Lord, you love it when we give with a cheerful heart. And Lord, I know that as you place your hand upon it, it's going to do greater things than it would ever do in our hands. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have one announcement that I wanted to make. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. You notice we have the basket set up in front. We have some thank you cards. So if you want to fill out a thank you card, throw a gift card in there or whatever if you'd like, or just write your how much you appreciate them on the card and put it in their little basket. Or I know sometimes people have brought them like things that they've made. And whatever you want to do to show your appreciation for your pastor, please bring something or write a card next week, and we'll give it to them on the last Sunday of the month, so you have plenty of time, so you got a lot of notice. grave this morning, because we know that you are alive today, that you are sitting at the right hand of our Father in heaven, and that you are interceding on our behalf. And we just want to lift up your name this morning, lift up the name of our God, lift up the name of Jesus this morning, so that the rocks don't cry out. Because I will not let rocks have them. I will not let rocks have the privilege that I have to cry upon the name of my God, to praise Him, to worship You, to glorify You. For You have done great things in my life. And You have done great things in this country. And You have done great things in this world. And Lord, I stand in faith this morning believing for great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. That we lift up Your name today in praise and worship, glorifying our King, glorifying our God. For You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. And we just want to glorify You this morning, Lord. We thank You, Father. Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to You for the desert will never take my song. Oh, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise You. I will praise You. I won't let the storm. I was made to testify. Forever You will have my song.
The stronger my faith grows.
worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. We glorify your name. We praise your name. We praise your name and worship you.
So. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just tell Jesus how much we love him today? Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your help and your strength and your grace and your blessing and your provision. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our guide, our enabler, our strength, our power. Jesus, we just love you today. We thank you for hanging on the cross, paying the penalty and the price of our sins that separated us from you. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. You are alive. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Oh, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, today. I remember a couple of families in prayer this morning. One is my uncle, my mom's only brother, Dwayne Brindley, went to be with the Lord on Wednesday. And so my Uncle Dwayne's having his first Sunday service in heaven today with my grandparents. I know they had such a great reunion. So keep our family in your prayers. I'll be doing his memorial service on Wednesday morning in Enid. And what an honor to do that. Aren't you thankful for heaven in times like that? I'm thankful for the hope of heaven. It's not goodbye, it's what? See you later. Yeah. George Graham's brother, Irvin, passed away on Wednesday as well. They've had his memorial service. And so I guess this Sunday's his first Sunday in heaven too, Brother George. So we just want to pray for the Graham family. Dorothy Bird is still recovering from her surgery and going through rehab. So we want to pray for her. Thank you, Lord, we can call upon him in our needs. Amen. I know there's many other situations and needs that are on your heart. And so we thank you for your prayers while we was on a short vacation and district ministers retreat in Branson. Appreciate Pastor Phil and Pastor Chad and holding down the fort on Sunday, and then Jack Freeman and preached on Wednesday night. So thank you. I just love our church. I love our church family. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the comfort and the peace and the joy that we know that even in death, as believers, we can see victory. And we can sorrow, but not as those who have any hope, who don't know you as Savior. We thank you, Jesus, that because of you, we can rejoice even as we say goodbye to a loved one. So we pray your comfort and your peace over the Brindley and Lance family, Gordon family, all that's related to my uncle. We pray for the Graham family, Lord, that you would just put your peace and your strength and your comfort in their hearts. We pray for Dorothy that you would continue to be with her as she goes through rehab. And Father, we just lift up every need today. We thank you, Lord, that there's not any situation or family or person that you are not concerned about and that you cannot take care of in their time of need. So we lift them all to you. We pray, God, that your will be done in this service. We thank you again for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. We're so glad to have Chris Hales with us this morning. His wife, Amy, could not be here with him and their kids, but Chris and Amy and their family are missionaries to the Czech Republic. They live there in Prague, right, when they're over there. And so we've been supporting them now for several years, and we just appreciate Chris being with us. He did some missionary work in Noble as a teenager. he came with the youth group from Mustang, the bridge, when this church was being planted and started. And they canvassed the town of Noble and said, hey, there's an Assembly of God church coming to Noble, Oklahoma. And Chris was a teenager back then, and I think that's pretty cool. And now he's doing missionary work in the Czech Republic. Would you help me welcome Chris Hales?
It is great being back in Noble. I, too, watched the OU game yesterday, and I can hardly speak. It's been such an incredible day. It has been really good to be home. I've been back in Oklahoma since January this time, and God has been so faithful. Both of my kids have been filled with the Holy Spirit this year. Both of them have been involved in leadership this year. My daughter has expressed interest in being involved in ministry. My son is on the praise and worship team for his youth group at the bridge in Mustang, and we are just so thankful what God has done in our lives. How many of you guys know that God is faithful? He's just awesome. He's incredible. So much life has happened between visits here. When we first came here, my kids were 6 and 7. Now they're 16 and 17. My marriage is only 11 years old. Now it's 21. A lot has changed in both of our lives. And the reason why my wife is not here this morning is because my kids are 16 and 17 and they have lives, but they do not have driver's licenses. And so they did not want to miss church. Did not want to miss their friends. So that is why you're stuck with just me. All of us are growing older and wiser. Wouldn't you say that? Maybe older? Some of us have lost a little bit of hair the last 10 years. Don't point at me. Lost a little bit. But there have been a lot more stories. We've seen a lot more of God's faithfulness. God has done a lot more things. He has been incredible. For us, it started with our yes to God. We said yes. Because on the other side of yes is a harvest. When you say yes to God, God has a plan for your life. He wants to do something through your life. You just have to say yes. It starts with yes. How many of you guys know God can take somebody pretty ordinary and average and do something with their life? Because he is the extra in the ordinary. So trust him for your life. Say yes to accepting him. There are three parables I want to share with you this morning that reveal the progression from yes to accepting Jesus into our lives to him doing something in and through your life. Pretty simple, pretty basic, but God is always at work, and he invites us to join him. Here are the three. The first parable is about salvation. The second is about transformation. And the third is about multiplication. Matthew 13:44, if you have your Bible. I'll give you a second to get there. We left Prague this last year and came home, and COVID was pretty difficult in Prague because there were so many restrictions. You couldn't hardly do anything. You couldn't leave your village without a piece of paper. You could barely walk down the street in more than groups of two. It was just pretty hard, pretty frustrating. So when we get to Oklahoma and it's the wild, wild west, we're celebrating. We're like, wow, Oklahoma's awesome. It's so incredible. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's freedom here, right? Thank God for Oklahoma. So we are so glad to be back and so grateful to be a part of it and get to come to church again and be a part of all this. This is incredible. Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and he sold all he had and he bought that field. There's a man who's lived a pretty uneventful life. It's just pretty basic. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just kind of ordinary, right? Until one day it's no longer ordinary. Things begin to change. He is walking through familiar fields, and he has his staff in his hand, and he's walking his staff. The edge of it hits something in the ground, and he sees something sticking out of the soil. He gets pretty excited about it, so he bends down and begins to dig until he holds a large box in his hand. He opens the box, and inside he discovers something of extreme value and worth, and he takes a deep breath. Man, the treasure is more beautiful, more valuable, more desirable than anything he has ever held or even seen. This is a great treasure and he has to have it. I've got to get this treasure. But the treasure is buried in a field he doesn't own. And he cannot have the treasure unless he owns the field the treasure is buried in. It's a conundrum, isn't it? Man, I got to get this thing. How am I going to get it? With no banks at the time, the wealthy would bury their valuables in the dirt, hidden away from marauders, robbers, and the rest of the world's sight. Over time, people would die and the treasure would be lost until someone else stumbled across it. And he is that someone else. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime find. The Bible says he hid it again. How can I have this? In order to have the treasure, I have to own the field. So how can I own the field? He comes up with a plan. I will sell everything. I'll start to put it on Etsy. I'll put it on eBay, Marketplace, whatever I have to do to get this money. I'm going to get the, because ever wanted something so bad you sold everything you had or were willing to do that? This man was willing to have this at whatever the cost was, he was going to get it. All of it. It doesn't matter. I want it. The Bible says he sells it all joyfully. Joyfully, that's a big word. He doesn't do it begrudgingly. He doesn't feel like he's getting ripped off. He doesn't feel like he's losing something. He sells it joyfully because he feels like what he's found is worth way more than what he has. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's worth everything. What this parable is not about you buying your salvation. You cannot purchase your salvation. The point of the parable is the extreme value of obtaining the kingdom of God, of receiving Jesus into your life. But it comes with a choice. Each of us is faced with the same choice. It's all this world has to offer or all that Jesus does. Everything the world can give you or all that Jesus can give you. Each of us is invited to follow Jesus to receive his free gift of salvation by faith, but it will cost you. The old life for the new. You can't hold on to both at the same time. You can't live the old life and live the new life at the same time. You can't follow the world and follow Jesus at the same time. You can't go left and you can't go right at the same time. You can't go east and can't go west at the same time. You just cannot do it. You have to say yes to one or the other. Who will you say yes to? Have you found the treasure? If you have, your life will reveal this. If you found Jesus, then your life is going to show you found Jesus. You can't hide it when you find Jesus. It changes everything. When I was 5 years old, I found Jesus for the first time. Don't remember much about it, but I remember going to a little altar in Oklahoma City to Evangel Assembly of God Church, knelt down, gave my heart to Jesus, came home, and I don't know what happened after that. I was living a pretty rough life up to that time, and then found God, and everything changed. I turned 13. The next time I found Jesus, I was a youth. I was going to church at Mustang again, and I'm sitting there, and God, Pastor McNabb's preaching this message, and it just, I don't know what happened, but it felt like Jesus came into my life, came into the room. He was like right there with me. I came to the altar, started crying. I couldn't quit crying. I wasn't sad. I was incredibly happy. I loved him so much. I was just, I love you, Jesus. And it was every, I can still remember that moment. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go to El Chico. I want to stay here and I want to worship Jesus. And then again at 18, I was at youth convention. And God called me to youth ministry. And I was like, man, that's all I want to do with my life. And I was weeping again. I love you, Jesus. I saw young people's faces. And all I want to do is serve God. And it was everything. And I know this passage is more of a one and done encounter. Like he finds a treasure, everything's good. But for me, it's been felt like more like a process. Sometimes I just have not understood the worth of Jesus. I just have not understood the worth of my Christianity. I have not understood what it meant to find Jesus or for him to find me. I know this because I've thought this, and maybe you don't think this way, but I've thought this. Please don't ask us to go. Because after all, everybody else gets to be missionaries. I don't have to be a missionary. I can stay here, right? I'm sending them so I don't have to ever go, right? Isn't that how it works? I've had people tell me, I'm so glad you went. I'm so glad God didn't call me. Anybody relate? Please don't ask me to go. Please don't ask us to go, Jesus. God, surely you don't mean us. I am not the most qualified person in the world. I know that Pastor Phil might be a lot better at this than I would. Aren't you the mayor now? That's pretty awesome. That's incredible. It's like, what? That's incredible. But God calls us and he qualifies and he helps us and he uses us. And I still say or think things like that, though. I'm like, I don't want to go. Why me? I remember when we were staying in our kitchen in 2010. It's been a while. We had our missions packet in our hand, and we were about to put that thing in the mail. Our kids were 5 and 6 years old, and we were sitting there, and you guys will think this is terrible. You think I'm a baby. I know. I get it. We're weeping in our kitchen thinking, oh, my goodness, we're going to do this. Are we really going to do this? Because once we put this package, it's like this thick in the mail, and we follow through with this, everything is going to change. Everything. We sealed it, and we sent it. And then we sold most everything we had, except for our house, because our house wouldn't sell. But why did we make this decision? Because we had found the treasure. We had found the treasure. we finally realized how worth Jesus really is. I say we found him, but in reality, he found us. He found us. The treasure was hidden in the world until it wasn't. It all starts with a yes. Yes, I choose you, Jesus, because you first chose me. You first picked me. You first looked at me. I wasn't left standing against the fence when everybody chose teams. You chose me. You picked me. Yes begins a process, the process of him becoming greater and me and you becoming less. The process of transforming you and I into his likeness and his image and living out who we're created to be. You and I are a work in progress. The kingdom of heaven is about salvation, and it is about, number two, transformation. It's about transformation. Matthew chapter 13, 33. He tells him still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Okay, now honestly, how many of you guys would prefer a big ball of bread dough for dessert today? Anybody? I'd love to have a big old ball of bread dough, wouldn't you? Sounds good, doesn't it? How many of you guys would rather have that bread dough be like heated up and have yeast go through it and it kind of works its way all through the thing and the thing gets really fluffy and big and maybe somebody put some glaze on it or maybe some Nutella or some jelly or something really good? How many of you guys, that sounds a little better? Sounds a little bit better stuff, right? The difference between the ball of dough and the bread is the process. It's the process. You go from this to this. The yeast mixed with the heat brings transformation. The nature of yeast is to grow and to change whatever it contacts. Yeast does its job slowly, secretly, and silently, but no one can deny its effect on the dough. You pull it out of the oven after the yeast has done its work, and the dough, now bread, smells so good. You put some honey, you put some stuff on it, you have a cup of coffee, and life is good, right? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Like the dough, we are slowly transformed into something else. You used to look like that, and now you look like this, right? You used to be that, and now you're this. God has done something in your life. He's changed you. Can anybody relate to that? The transformation is because of the work of grace in our hearts. When we accept grace, or when we accept Christ, his grace grows in our hearts, and it changes us from the inside out. You cannot stay looking the way you looked when you first met Jesus your entire life. God will transform you if you'll allow him. And although the kingdom of God works invisibly, its effect is evident to all. You can tell when Jesus got a hold of somebody's life. A lot of times Jesus gets a hold of somebody's life and they're like, they're too radical. They're too crazy. They're nuts. They just love Jesus too much. They're too loud. They're too this. They're too that. Are we ever too loud? Are we ever too crazy when it comes to Jesus? Come on, man. Let's do it. All right. I used to act like, think like, be like, do this, do that, things I'm not proud of, doing what pleased me, but now I want to live for Jesus more and more, to please him more and more every single day. Jesus hidden in our hearts slowly transforms us from the inside out. He begins to work in us to act and to will according to his good pleasure. He begins to deal with our selfishness, our pride, and the sins in our life. He begins to shape our attitude and renew our mind. We are saved by his grace, but his grace continues to teach us to say no to ungodliness and to be holy. It doesn't stop at grace, just saving you. Grace also changes you. Over time, Jesus is not hidden anymore, and you are transformed. All of us can see the difference between a ball of bread dough and a loaf of bread. And all of us will notice when someone leaves the old life behind and becomes the new creation that God's created them to be. Jesus works in us and through us to love others. The yeast all works all through the dough until the dough is transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As we reflect the Lord's glory, Jesus, our treasure, he changes us. He changes from the inside out. Our hearts and wills conform with his. Our desires conform to his. We love God, so we begin to love others, really love them. Well, it is God who works in us. He also wants to work through us. You guys heard the scripture? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You heard that one? We're not saved by good works, but we are created for good works. How many of you guys would love to start a business you know you couldn't fail? How many of you guys would love to start anything you know you could not fail at it? The Bible is saying you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it goes on to say, which he has prepared in advance for you to do. So in other words, if you follow Jesus, you can't fail at this thing. He's got it all mapped out for you. You just got to trust him and follow him. Listen for his voice and follow him, because everything he leads you to do, he will make a way for it to happen. Matthew 13, 31 and 32. This is the third one. It's about multiplication. See, it's not taking this long. I'm getting there. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Jesus takes a small little seed, the smallest seed known at that time in that area of the world, the smallest seed, said, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is how it starts. It's so small. It's so tiny. He continues. This is what's going to happen. He's going to be planted in the ground. It's going to be buried. It's going to be hidden. You're not going to see it. But then one day, the first sign of life is going to take place. The leaves are going to break through. The stems are going to break. The leaves are going to break. And there's going to be this plant. And the plant is going to grow and grow and grow until it becomes a large plant, a large tree. And the birds will come and perch in its branches. During COVID, I started a new hobby. It's my new old man hobby. You guys have any old men hobbies? A little woodworking, a little bit of something, this or that, fishing maybe. Well, I started watching birds. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? A really cool guy. And we're sitting there in the garden because we couldn't do anything, and we're just sitting there. I don't know. You get a coffee or you get an iced tea, and you just sit in the garden. You watch birds. It's pretty exciting. But as I sat there, I even got a birdhouse for Christmas. It was incredible. As I sat there, I was just watching these birds, and like thinking, man, look at all these birds. It's just incredible. And I began to think about this stuff. And I'm like, this is it. This is the kingdom of heaven, because as the tree gets bigger and bigger, all these birds come and they're all different and nobody cares. The cool thing about it is the fact that they are different. There's such a variety and a diversity, and it's so amazing. And I was just like, this is pretty cool, Amy. And she's like, this is pretty cool, right? A small seed hidden and insignificant. It grew so big so that all these varieties of birds came to nest in its branches. The kingdom starts small, but it does not stay small. It doesn't stay small. The kingdom never stays small. Something small becomes something big, and as it grows, it has a greater effect. It really does. I don't think birds can land on a seed, but I know they can land in a tree. And I don't think a tree cares what color a bird or type of bird nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven has room for all who receive Jesus Christ into their life, regardless of the country they are from, the color of their skin, or the amount of money they have in their bank account. The kingdom of heaven, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And it's still growing, still growing. Earlier in this chapter, I apologize for my voice, Jesus talks about the seed, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and how the seed fell on the path, the bad birds took it up. The rocky places, not all birds are bad. The rocky places, little soil, no root. Fell among the thorns. It grew up and choked the plants. The first three were not good, were they? And the fourth seed fell on good soil. Out of all four of these, only one of the four produced a crop. Do you think Jesus was saying, be like the first three? Jesus wants us to be like the fourth one. 30, 60, 90, 30, 60, 100 fold. He wants the kingdom to grow and to grow and to grow. That which was sown is what it says. The kingdom is about multiplication. Jesus wants you to know him so you can make him known. This is the point of our salvation, knowing Jesus and helping others to know Jesus. It's the same story. It kind of wraps some of this stuff up, but this is the same story. It's always been the same story. Jesus calls Andrew and Peter, James and John, Nathaniel, he calls the 12 become the 120, the 120 become thousands become thousands of thousands of thousands become millions, millions of millions of millions, and there's many, 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 many people. It just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, and the kingdom keeps sweeping people up into it until you and I are swept into it, because it all started with Jesus, and now we are in church today because somebody went out and shared the good news, because somebody had the Holy Spirit in their life, somebody believed in this thing they're living for, and they believe they found the treasure, so they shared the treasure, and because of that, you're in church today. Jesus was the seed that was buried, and out of his death and resurrection came new life, and his kingdom has grown and grown and grown and grown, and it is growing. And people from all over the world are still finding the treasure. Our story. You guys know our story, probably. We left in September 2012. I'm going to make it really short. We left, and we thought we were going to go to Czech, and we're going to see the greatest harvest. It's going to be incredible. The church is going to be planted. We're American. We can do this. 6 months later, a church is going to be up. 3 years later, there's no church. Both of our kids have suffered immensely, physically, emotionally. We've been through so much depression, anxiety, could not feel God's presence. It felt difficult. It was hard. And how many of you guys know just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God? So many people say it's hard, I'll go do something else. Sometimes it's hard because you have to get through the hard to get to the good. So we stood in our kitchen. We were like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this anymore. Pastor Steve, I want to go home. Oklahoma is better than the Czech Republic. I just want you to know that. Oklahoma is the best place in the world. God loves Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. Standing there in our kitchen, both Amy and I just had the worst day. She just got cussed out at the grocery store for dropping some eggs by the cashier. How many guys have had that happen at Walmart? She came home. She said, I hate these people. I want to go home. Praise God. We both stood in our kitchen. We said, you know what? We can't go home because I don't have a job. I don't have a house. I don't have stuff. All I have is right here. But then we said, you know what? We can't go home. God called us here, and the calling did not change because it got hard. We said, God will stay if you'll help us. Within 2 weeks, God gave us a word from two different people. I absolutely believe in prophecy when it's of God. They told us, if you'll come back and see the greatest harvest you've ever seen. Both words. Don't grow weary in doing what's right, for in due time you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Galatians 6:9. We decided to go back. We get back in June of 2016 after a year of itineration again, and we'd had a hard first term. My son went through severe anxiety, panic attacks 4 or 5 times a day. My daughter, physically, her body shut down for 2 years. It was hard. We came back excited, once again motivated. First week back, you know what happens? My car's been wrecked since I've been gone. Our basement floods with sewer water. It's over and over and over again. It's just one thing after another. We find out we don't have any money for school anymore. And we're like, okay, God, what are we doing here? They're like, you know what? We're supposed to be here. It's going to work out. We had started a Bible study the first term we were there, and all those people had gone away because we were told we couldn't do that anymore from the national church. And so we didn't have anything when we came back. But did you know when we came back in 2016, not only had my daughter been healed, she grew a foot in a year. My son also had got over his depression and anxiety, and we had 12 people tell us we want to start a church with you. So with 12 people, God said, if you'll just start it, I'll send people. We had $15,000 to start a church. How many of you guys know it costs more than that in Oklahoma to start a church? Rented a hotel room, started with 12 people, and each and every week, God began to bring people. I just can't believe how faithful God is. And over the next 5 years, in October 16th of 2021, it'll be our 5-year anniversary, Heart Prog. There have been close to 100 nations have come through the church. I'm not talking about 100 people, I'm talking about 100 nations. And I want to tell you a little bit more what's going on. I want to show you a little bit more what's going on before I move on, but here's the video. And before he plays this, I just want to set it up real quick. This is one of our videos we did before we left in December. And this is our church, and I just want to show you some of the people at Heart Prague that did not exist in 2012 at this church. Now there's a local church in Prague that's serving the city and serving the nations. A little bit emotional about what God's done in my life. When you know who you are and you know what God takes and does with your life, it's pretty amazing. I know I'm pretty average. I'm pretty ordinary. But God can do a lot when you say yes. I often ask God, why did you choose Amy and I to do this? And he said, because nobody else said yes. The church, you didn't see all this in the video, but the church, we grew out of the space. We're meeting at a Hotel International in Czech Republic. It was a place where the communists used to meet to determine the fate of people like you and I in Prague and in the Czech Republic. There's only two hotels in the world like it. One's in Moscow, one's in Prague. They're the same. They look pretty similar. And they were basically a sign of strength for the Communist Party. They would have a bright, glowing red star that would sit on top of it so everybody knew exactly what it was. That's where we started our church at. We had Czech families come into our building, and they would cry when they come into the building because they could not believe we were having church in a place where they used to be the communists would meet. So you want to know about communism? I can tell you about communism. I can tell you about socialism if you want to talk more about it. It breaks my heart. These people had nothing forever. Struggle. When we first got there, you know how much people made at McDonald's? $2 an hour. $2 an hour. And all we want is them to have church and have churches. The church grew. We left our location at the hotel and moved to a commercial space. The Women's Project in Oklahoma got behind us and supported us. I'm sure many of you have given to that. Thank you for that. Mustang Bridge Builders team came over and built our cafe. And we took 2 months to build a bathroom with a Czech contractor and Czech workers. It took 3.5 days for Mustang Men's team to build our cafe. Go Oklahoma. And the first service we had in our new space, it was packed, wall-to-wall people. We went to 2 services. That grew. We're going to go to 3 services, and then COVID hit. When I say 3 services, we're talking to our church held like 120 people, like it wasn't a big place. We just kept growing, and COVID hit, and things went, you know, how they went. But I can tell you now that the things are coming back and that people are coming back. We transitioned the church to Czech pastors this last year in January, right before we left, and the end of December, 1st of January. And so now what are we doing? We want to start more churches. We started a church, helped start a church in Daejeon. We didn't do it ourselves. We helped a Czech pastor and his family start a church in Daejeon. Daejeon is a city of 50,000 people. You know how much it costs for them to have rent for an entire year? $6,000. We've also helped start a church in Ostrava. It's a city of 400,000 people. You know how much it costs them to have rent for an entire year? $7,000. Daejeon is already going well. I can send you photos if you'd like to see them sometime. Ostrava is also going well. It's starting to grow. They're looking for a place to meet. This is going to be an international church in Ostrava, English-speaking and Czech-speaking church. And so Amy and I want to plant 9 more churches. And I want to tell you one more story, because it's not about numbers. It's about people with real names, real hurts, real pains. Amy worked with a lady named Neem. She was a Burmese refugee. Never lived my life where I've got to be around people that were so different than me. We would actually bring Iraqi refugees to church. People from Syria, from Iran, from Russia, you name it. We had people coming from China. I had a girl that was on the Czech national, or a Chinese national team, came to study in Prague and came to our church. I've seen so many incredible things. But one lady in particular, her name was Neem. She was working with my wife, and she had no money because they had trafficked her husband. I know you guys have heard of sex trafficking. This is labor trafficking. They made him a promise that if he got to Prague, he could also go to the U.S. But once he got to Prague, they took his money, and he had nothing. So he worked for very little money. Neem worked at the school to try to provide food and clothing and housing for her family. And my wife worked there to just try to help out and help with our tuition because we couldn't pay the tuition. It was too high. But they became really good friends. And Amy would often say, she is the Burmese refugee version of myself. Because people are not that different. Neem was also a Jehovah's Witness. Neem met the Jehovah's Witness in a refugee camp in France, I believe it was, when she was younger, before they moved her to Czech. And the reason why is because the Jehovah's Witnesses work refugee camps. They're everywhere. So she was working with Amy, and Amy talked to her about God and be sweet to her and kind to her and love her. And we take her home and in our car, and Neem just, one day she just said she had to leave. She was leaving. She was getting to go on closer to America, so she was going to go to another country. Norway, I think, is where they were sending her on her way to America again. Well, she gets to Norway, and we lose track of her, and then we move back to Prague in 2016, and we get a call from Neem after being back about a month, and she says, Amy, I'm back. It's like, where, I didn't think I'd ever talk to you again. And Neem says, you know what? She said, I went through severe depression in Norway. Thought I was going to die. I started reading my Bible, and I found Jesus. I found Jesus. Thank you for always pointing me to Jesus, for being the kindness and the light in this world. I just want to tell you that missions matters. If Jesus is the greatest good news you've ever heard, then he's also the greatest good news to someone else. It's only good news if it's shared. Would you guys stand with me? I want to close this up. I want you to pray with me, and I want to pray with you. Entry into the kingdom of heaven starts with you and I saying yes. It starts with salvation. It says we say yes to Jesus. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we turn from the old life and turn to the new life and become the person God has created to be. Not because we make it happen, it's because he makes it happen through us, right? Your identity was once this and now it's this. You once looked like the bread dough, now you look like the bread, right? I found the treasure for the first time when I was a small person, a little child. I found it again at 13 and 18, and I can tell you I'm still finding it day in, day out. Where were you when you found Jesus? How old were you? How old did you find? Have you found him yet? Have you really found Jesus yet? Paul writes in Philippians 3:8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Nothing compares. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them what? Garbage is what Paul says. That I may gain Christ. All our stuff for the treasure of knowing Jesus. It starts with yes, continues with yes, and sometimes it even hurts, but you continue to say yes anyway. So this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray with you. I know you've been going to church for a while. I know you know a lot about the church and traditions, but do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you ever said, Jesus, I have this life, this old life, and I see this new life. I want to hold on to this old life, but I still want you. Have you ever said, no more old life? Have you ever said, do everything you need to do in me and through me, Jesus? If you haven't, let today be the day you say, I want you to be my treasure, Jesus. You are worth everything. Everything I could give to you, everything I could sell, everything, whatever it takes to know your plan and your will for my life, I want to love you. No, you don't buy your salvation. But sometimes the things of this world, the temporary things of this world you keep holding on to, they're keeping you from knowing the treasure you could have in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you have to turn that Netflix series off and say, I'm tired of this, I want Jesus. Sometimes you got to quit doing all that mess and say, I'm tired of living like this. I want the new life that I can find in Christ Jesus. I want it all. I want it all. We're all broken without him. We all can't fix ourselves without him. But with him, he can do great things. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or imagine. He can transform you from one thing to another, and he can use your life to do something great in this world. So if this is you, slip your hand up. Say, I want the treasure. I want the treasure. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. We're just going to pray with you, but I want you to slip your hand up. I want the treasure. I want the treasure. I think the difference sometimes in church in America and church in Europe, people that came to our church realized how much they wanted it. They realized how much they had in it. When we came home this year and we started going to church, I realized how much I had missed of the church community and the family and all the things God had done. I love my church in Mustang. I love it. I could tell you love your church too. You guys got a great church. But I want to encourage you to just not settle and start falling in love with Jesus to the point where you can't shut up about him. I think a lot of us just get comfortable and like, man, we're just comfortable. When God called Amy and I to go to missions, we were pastoring a church, had just bought a house, life was going well, and he said, you're too comfortable. So this morning, if you can truly say the treasure, Jesus is your treasure, and you live like he's your treasure, that's awesome. But if you cannot say that, I pray that you will. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask God to just touch your life, and I'm going to ask him to open your heart to him, and I'm going to ask you to lay down those things which are hurting you, keeping you from him, I'm going to ask that God helps you to find the freedom that you're created to live in. Lord, I love you and praise you and thank you, Jesus, for this church body. Thank you, God, for Noble Assembly God Church, this family. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this church and bless Pastor and his family. Bless Pastor Phil and his family. Please use this church to make a difference in Noble in this area and across the world, because I know they've given a lot to missions. I know they've been faithful. Please use them to have a greater influence, God, I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray for each and every person standing here that may be hurting, that may be going through depression, anxiety, fear, worry, whatever it may be. Maybe they're struggling with an addiction, whatever it may be, God. Maybe their marriage is hurting, maybe something, I don't know, but God, you know. And so I lift them up to you right now and I ask you, God, to just reach down and help them. Reach down and open their eyes to you and help them to realize that whatever they give up for your sake is not near as great as what they're going to receive from you. I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Father. Lord, you're worthy. Have your way in our lives. Come live in our hearts. Come change our lives. We need you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you guys so much. And I just want to ask you in closing, if you would pray for the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is 80% agnostic or atheist, less than 1%. And you guys hear numbers all the time, but less than 1% evangelical Christian, Bible-believing Christian is in Czech. It's postmodern, post-postmodern. It's way beyond modern Christianity. But God is still moving across this world. And I pray that you'd pray for my friends in the Czech Republic and pray for the nations that are represented there, because those people are going all over the world with the gospel. And I just want to share one more thing, and I promise I'm done. Just real briefly. The Czech Republic has missionaries in North Korea, and I just want you to know that God's doing something across this world that we don't know about. Just keep praying for them, because they can go places you can't go because they're not American. So please be praying for the church in the Czech Republic and praying for the people. God bless you.
Pastor Phil, would you come up here with me? Extend your hand toward Brother Chris, and let's just pray for his family and for the church. Brother Pastor Phil, would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Lord, we thank you so much for the Hales. Lord, we thank you so much for the plan you have for them. Lord, we thank you that even in those moments of weariness, depression, sickness, Lord, they held on to you. And Lord, in those moments when they didn't think they could go any further, they knew that the call you'd placed on their life was greater than anything they could ever imagine. Lord, we pray, Lord, and thank you so much for the blessings you put upon them. And Lord, we pray you just continue to expand their territory. Lord, continue to expand their influence. May they be able to plant not just these 9 churches, but many more after. And Lord, may the country of the Czech Republic be won by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for safety, peace, finances, and provision for this entire missionary family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thank you, brother. You can be seated for just a moment. We will receive a love offering for the Hales today as they continue to do what God's called them to do. I love thinking about what you said about the mustard seed. It's going so small, hidden away, but then God raises up a mighty, mighty work, and God is still doing that. That was so encouraging to hear that and to think about that. And so we're so glad that you have come today, Chris, and thankful for, man, God has worked. And at a moment when you wanted to quit and say, let me out of this, you were faithful, and God has proven faithful to keep you moving in his direction. So we want to receive a love offering. If our ushers would come at this time, if you're making out a check, you could just make it to the church, and then we will make sure he gets every dollar. Put on the offering envelope your name and the amount. Put Hales, H-A-L-E-S, and then we will know that they get everything that they need today. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to sow great seed into the ministry of Chris and Amy Hales, into the people of the Czech Republic. Lord, we're so thankful that you are always faithful and you are always trustworthy, Lord. Always providing, always taking care of every need if we will just keep our hand in yours. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Chris and Amy and their family. that have went, and I pray that you help us as we send to also do our part to make the ministry and the mission work. Thank you, Lord. Bless both gift and giver today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team is going to do a final song.
Move the unmovable, break.
many of you believe for the impossible? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me together today? And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do the impossible. Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do. And Father God, we just pray that you continue to help us to trust in your promises, to be your ambassadors to this generation and around the world. Lord, that you set up divine appointments for us, Lord, as we seek to win the lost. And I pray, God, that you would just go with us today, watch over us, keep your hand upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you today.